Thank you. Well, as you saw in your bulletin, we're going to, for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the gift of Jesus. And one of the staple verses that many people know today is found in John 3:16, and says this verse right here. If we could just all read this together, if you would, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Thank you, God. We just thank the Lord that, you know, he says, for so loved the world, for each one, whosoever will believe. You know, when you receive a gift, what do you usually do with it? You unwrap it, you know. So here God gave, or Jesus came as a gift to us, and yet there are people who has never unwrapped it. And so why? Why does this take place? Well, you know, some of them believe the gift doesn't exist. You know, the gift isn't really there. Even though the reality of Jesus is one of the most historically documented events that's out there. You know, if you look at any old and in the history, that there's more evidence of the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection, than any other historical event in that time frame. And so that's one reason. Some of them, they don't believe it's for them. They don't know that it's for them. And that's, where are they going to hear that from? Who? Yep, us, the church. You know, as Paul says, how can they believe if they don't know? And so some of them, we got to go out there and tell them that, hey, there's a gift for you that Jesus came. Some of them, it's because they don't trust, because of the person that's maybe sharing the gift, or just, God, there's experiences in life. They had a bad situation, or just what they've seen, you know, what they believe Christianity represents, and that needs restored. How's that going to be restored? Us. You know, we have a responsibility. Whether we like it or not, as a church, we have a responsibility to God. You know, some of them, they know it exists. They know it's there. They've seen. But they don't want it because they realize if they open that package, they got to deal with what's inside of it. And they don't want to lose control of their life. They don't want to deal with that. It's like, no, I like what I'm doing. I like my life. I don't want to deal with you know, Christianity because I know what it's about, but they really don't know what it's about. To them, what they see Christianity is rules, religion, regulations, and they miss the fact that it's a relationship. The greatest loving relationship they will ever experience in their life. And then there's some who believe that they don't need the gift because they got one just like it. They have a religion. They have a belief. But the reality is, it is a religion. It's all on them. It's all them. Whereas, as we read in that verse, for God so loved the world, he gave. And all we do is respond. You know, that's really what Christianity is about. It's responding to what Jesus did, what God did. It's believing what he did. That's our part, is responding to what he's done for us. You know, when we look at and this gift, you know, the unique thing about this is the only gift, Jesus is the only gift that you can really receive that will build and bring you into a real relationship with God. Any other way is false. Any other way is religion. Any other way, you're missing what Christianity is really about. If you try to go without Jesus, you don't have Christianity. You have religion. You know, one of the qualities of this gift, you know, and I know at this season, well, it's not really this season, it's all the time, but since there's been a lot of football games and stuff on, there's a lot of commercials. Commercials trying to sell you things. Commercials about cars and trucks and restaurants and food and jewelry and toys and clothes and all that. And they all trying to say why you should buy their product. But you know, that's sort of what as Christians, what God is releasing or asking us to do is go out and let the world know why you need Jesus. Why you should have Jesus in your life. You know, Jesus, this gift of Jesus is the only gift that affects our past, present, and future. And that's what we're going to talk about the next 3 weeks. This week, we're going to talk about the fact of how the gift of Jesus impacts and affects your past. Next week, we're going to talk about how he is for today. It wasn't just something in the past and just something someday when we get to heaven. It's now. He's a now God that can help you right now in any situation. But there's also the future that he has for us. You know, there's a lot of shows and there's a lot of movies and stuff that deal with time travel. And there's one, and I'm not endorsing these shows, but I'm sharing with them because they're popular. You know, one of them that probably some of you have seen is Doctor Who. You know, Doctor Who's been produced by the British Broadcasting Network. It's been on for over 50 years. They've had 12 different actors, and so. But the whole thing is, there's this guy. And he is considered the Doctor of Travels. They call him a Time Lord, but really we know there's only one Lord of Time, and it's not him. You know, but this is something that's fascinating. There's something in society. I think, you know, it's something to pay attention to, some things that are popular out there, because it speaks to the need of our society, of our culture. So why? Why is this so popular? And, you know, another thing that I've noticed, a new term that's being thrown out an awful lot, out in movies and different things, is a wormhole. Some of you might have heard that, some of you not, but it's a real popular. I mean, you've seen them all kinds of shows and movies and stuff where there's this thing to be able to travel through time. It's mythological, but it's this thing to be able to go travel and to maybe change something or maybe fix something from your past. How many of you would say, yes, there is something or several things that if I could, I would go back in my past and change it? Do you have something? I would assume most everybody, even young people, you know, that test you maybe didn't study for, or that thing you did that you got something taken away that now you wish you wouldn't have done, or, you know, just all that. So all of us has that desire, most of us does. The reality is, physically, there is no wormhole or Time Lord or Doctor Who can come right now and get in this little phone booth thing or whatever it is and take us back and change things. But there is a God who can help us. We can never go back and physically change something, but there is a God that can help us that thing that ever happened or whatever we did or our past cannot necessarily control our future, and it cannot impact. That God could take that and change our life and work on it. That is the gift that Jesus gave us, that he can go and take whatever happened in our past and work it for good for our life. Isaiah 61, I call it the job description of Jesus, the destiny statement, the purpose statement of Jesus Christ. And starting in verse 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." This is talking about Jesus. "Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Wouldn't you like to hear good news? Well, don't listen to the radio or TV or something. But it's nice to hear good news. You know, they rarely report it, but it's nice. You know where we find that is Jesus. That he came to give us good news. And he said he has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. You ever had something broken in your life? You know, there's all kinds of things that can break our heart. You know, start breaking off pieces of our heart. What this basically means is he came and he put it all back together. That's really what this is saying. That this heart was broken to pieces, and Jesus came so he could start putting it back together. And there's things that happen in our life. Maybe our whole heart isn't broken, but there's pieces that's been chipped off of it. You know, maybe a relationship. Maybe you've been through a divorce, or your best friend betrayed you, or you know, your kids, or something going on with the relationship in the family. Or maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're dealing with a sickness. You know, that's like, why is this happening? You know, things don't work out the way you thought they were going to do. The dreams you had aren't working out. Every one of those is like a piece of your heart can be broken off. And Jesus said, "I came to bind that back up." That those things, yes, things are going to happen in life. You know, don't you wish you could control all that's going to happen to you sometimes? I mean, don't you think, oh, boy, I wish if I could just control that. But you know what? We can't. We can't control what's going on. We can't control necessarily. I mean, things happen in life, and I don't believe that God is necessarily the one who brings this to us. We live in a world that things happen. Yet, God is still God, and he's still control. And even in those things that break pieces off our heart and break our heart, that the Bible says Jesus came, that he takes and he binds our heart back up so that we don't have to live with a broken heart. With a heart that's shattered in pieces. And even maybe your heart's not shattered, but like I said, maybe there's pieces broken off that's deterring you or hindering you from living as a person with a whole heart. That's what basically saying. Jesus said, I came that your heart might be whole, that you live life with hope and joy and dreams and there's courage and love and trust. Not based on all the things that's happened in the past where I can never trust anybody again. I can never have a close relationship again. I can never really go out there and try something new because I know it's going to fail. That's what Jesus came to bind that up, that you can have a whole heart just fresh and new, that you can go out and do that. I ask Beth Hartzler is going to come and just share a few minutes about a testimony about how Jesus binds up a broken heart. So Beth, if you'd like to come on up.
Thank you. I get really excited about I get really excited when I hear Beth Hartzler because it's been 2 months. And it's awesome. But I also get excited about 5 minutes about how God has changed my life, because that's kind of a challenge because he's doing it every day. And kind of to preface everything, thank you, Pastor Perry, for asking me to share, but also I apologize for sometimes when I don't get it right, because I'm still human, even though God has made me into this supernatural, like, hey, you're fixed and you're good and you're 100%, we're still going to make mistakes. And I think that that's something that's interesting, and you don't realize how broken your heart is until he starts fixing it, and then he keeps fixing it. You think everything is awesome, and then something comes up, and you're like, God, I thought we had dealt with this. You know, I thought that this was over. I thought I wasn't going to be bitter about things anymore. I thought I wasn't going to grumble in my spirit and complain and I say the wrong things and have to shove my foot in my mouth. God, I thought we were over that. What's really awesome is that you're not over that. And it's awesome because that's God showing you the different things in your life that you can be doing differently. I was raised in the church. A lot of people know my story, so sorry. I'll try and make it more exciting this time. You'll just have to, if you know, you'll have to pick out which part doesn't belong, like what's not true. I'm just kidding. We won't play that game. That's awful. So I was raised in the church, and it was great. And that means that I was on the fast track to heaven. You know, you go to amusement parks and you get the pass. Yes, you have to pay more for it ahead of time, but you can jump to the front of the line. And I was like, okay, when we get there, we're good. You know, my mansion's going to be pink, and it's going to be awesome. Yeah. It was going to be beautiful. It was going to be so good. Because God knew me, because we were close. Like, I was born into it. It was going to happen. Like, I didn't have to do anything until, oh, I'm sick. God, please heal me and forgive me and stuff in case I die. You know, just that deathbed thing. And so I went on this journey to becoming an adult. I'm still working on that. But... You know, you go on this journey like, okay, God, you know, use me in the way you want to use me, take me where you want me to go and all of this stuff, and he did, but I wasn't having any of it because it wasn't what I thought that he was going to make my life to be, and so there was this void in my life where I was like, okay, God, here was my expectation, here's what you did, and it's not the same, so obviously, either God's wrong or I'm wrong, and I chose the wrong option for a while. And I decided that God was wrong and that I didn't want to have him anything to do with my life. Because if he's wrong in this, then all of this other stuff he said he was going to take care of is wrong too. And so without realizing it, I broke my own heart. You know, I didn't fortify myself and I didn't do the things that you want God to do and that he can do for you. So journey to the depths of hell. There's really not a nice way to put that on a Sunday morning, but that's what happened. And You know, you go through, you have your plans, like, these are the things that I'm going to do. I'm going to become a teacher. Not. I'm going to get married, and I'm going to live happily ever after, and it's going to be so great. Well, yes, but not the first time. And then I'm going to rebel against God, and I'm going to do everything I want, and I'm not going to get, you know, I'm not going to get all of those consequences that come from sin because, you know, I was right and God was wrong. Well, sometimes God, in his love, God is love, he proves you wrong in love. He takes you to a place, and for me, it was finding out that I was pregnant and having to decide, keep the baby, adopt the baby out, or have an abortion. Again, you know, not justifying, but I had the abortion. And then I said, God, I am so wrong, absolutely all the time. Can you just take my life and turn it into something else? He said, yeah, about time. Thanks. So here we are. I graduated from college a year ago today-ish. That was cool. I'm not a teacher. No. And, you know, we've been married for 2 months, and we have a house, and we have all of our needs are met. And it was because of God using my broken heart and using that time where I said, okay, it's yours. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. And I think so many times we think, I've done that once, so I don't have to do it again. It's an everyday thing that I now get to deal with. And I think it's because of God and his love and his healing touch that he sent through Jesus. Like Perry was saying, the only way to get that kind of relationship, that real-ationship, that's a word we made up, is to say, okay, God, take me, use me, and to let him do it. To let him be right in the areas of your life where you're trying to be right. And to let him be God because, you know, he's been doing it for a while and I am not good at that. And it's to believe that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. If you want to be called according to his purpose, you got to do the first part and believe that he's using those things for good. And it's finding those things in those broken heart, I'm going to get my feelings hurt situations, and trying to find God in them and saying, hey, God, instead of me getting bitter, instead of me doing the wrong thing here and trying to be you, I'm going to let you be you and you find my way. So that's how God has taken my past, and he's trying really hard. And I'm not always so great about letting him do it, but he's trying really hard to use what he's done in my past to work good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So we, again, Jesus said, he has set me, this is Jesus talking, to bind up the brokenhearted. The next verse, part of this verse says, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. You know, one of the things as part of being set free is to want to be set free. Sometimes we can get so comfortable in our captivity that we don't want to be set free. You know, that it's more comfortable because we're familiar with this. I'm not familiar with that. You know, I know if you read through history, when the slaves were set free, and even in the Holocaust, when the Jews were released from the prison camps, like, what do we do? What if they didn't know. They just stayed there. Several of them, I mean, they just stayed there because they didn't know what freedom really was like. And Jesus said he came to set us free. I would like Ricky Richardson's going to come, and he's going to share just a few minutes just about what it means to be released and to be set free from things from our past. Again, this is the gift of Jesus, that he can go back and those things that in our past that broke our heart or tries to keep us captive, even today, that he can set us free from those things.
Mm-hmm. Had a miracle in their life. Okay. I want to explain what a miracle is. A miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. When we think about the birth of Christ and the gift that was given, where God took himself out of eternity and wrapped himself up in humanity and came and presented himself as a gift to the world, we think about the birth of Jesus Christ and we look at how he took our past and he came and he divinely took all of our sins upon him. And so when I look at this and I look at all of us, those that have never seen a miracle, you're looking at one. And if you look at yourself, you're looking at a miracle. There's no way possible that you could have actually saved yourself.
That's right.
From what you've done, what you're going to do, your past, present, or future, there's no way you could have actually done this. When you look at what Christ has done in my life and how he's freed me, and Pastor gave me a passage of scripture, and I didn't know he meant the whole, didn't mean the whole scripture, but when I look at the Isaiah, when he spoke this, it was literally a prophecy of Jesus speaking actually through Isaiah. And then over in the book of Luke chapter 4, you see that when he closed the book, he said, this day has been fulfilled. It was Jesus that actually fulfilled the prophecy. And so when you look at it and you talk about the where it says he has anointed me to preach or proclaim the gospel to the meek or to the oppressed or the lowly ones, and you look at this, that when it pertains to me and my life, when that gospel message came, I received it. He said, bind up the brokenhearted or heal the brokenhearted. When my mother passed, or let's say my children's mother got on crack, or I wind up with cancer, he healed all that. So then we come to the part where he says to preach liberty or to proclaim liberty to the captives. That proclaim liberty actually means to open the heart. Other than him opening up my heart to receiving, it was no way that captivity that I was in, that I could be free from it. So he opened up the captivity of my heart, or opened up my heart that I can receive him or that I can see it. The prison that I was in, it was him that opened the prison to them that are bound. That prison equals the opening of the vision. To be able to let me see the freedom that he has given me once he opened my heart to the understanding of what salvation was and what was ahead of me, I had to have a vision. Without the vision, the people perish. So this vision of heaven, of freedom, of liberty, to live this life, to do what he says in his word, the opening of my understanding as I continually search his scriptures over 25 years now that I've walked with Christ, and each day gets sweeter than the day before. And so when I look at what Christ has done to set me free, to give me liberty, when you look at me, now you can look at yourself as a miracle. When you look at me, I'm a miracle. Because when you look at someone that has actually just totally, a lot of us have done drugs and we've done certain things. But if the person that's then shot 4 people and literally sold drugs and went across country doing the things that I've done, I mean, not proud of none of them. But when I look at how Jesus set me free from the captivity that I was in, I mean, some of the things that I've done is just too innumerable to even mention. But I'm free.
Yes.
I'm free. I'm free.
You know, and these are just a few testimonies, and several out there, but it gives you a glimpse of the fact of the reality of these verses. If you go on through there, there's all through here in Isaiah, it's a lot of dealing with our past and dealing with the restoration that Jesus had. There's a verse in, let me get to it here, 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. There's a story I want to share with you, and it's found in a book by Dr. Gary Smalley called The DNA of Relationships. It was just an excellent book. And it's a story about a young boy named Armand. He says, Armand was a six-year-old who was trapped in 6 feet of rubble and bricks after an earthquake in Turkey. His father knew the location of where Armand's school class should be, and the man started digging and lifting broken bricks off of the spot he thought his child might be. Friends and rescue workers kept trying to persuade Armand's father to give up the dig. He would always say, either join me or leave me alone. After 40-some hours and bloody hands, the father heard a faint voice. It was Armand. Daddy, is that you? Then Armand shouted to the other trapped kids, see, I told you my daddy would find us. Wouldn't it be great to have people like Armand's daddy spending every day looking for the value in us and setting us free? Do you know, the blessing is we have a Father in heaven. And some of us today may feel like you're trapped under an earthquake. Things have just caved in on your life. Some of you may not feel that much, but you still feel like there's things that have trapped you and things that are holding you, maybe even smothering you. You have a God who is digging you out, who sent Jesus, who's the head of the work crew. But you know who else is a part of that work crew? Who thinks they're a part of the work crew? Huh? It's us. We're a part of that work crew. And I'm going to ask if our musicians could come back up. There's a verse in Romans, and it reads like this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's my part in all this? I mean, here God has done all this. What's my part? You know, as we beginning, I shared that our biggest part in Christianity is responding. Responding basically is faith. It's saying to ourselves, you know, I don't want to live in this rubble. And I don't want to make this rubble my home. I don't want to live under this sense of oppression and the sense of things feeling collapsed on me or feeling like I'm just walking around in pieces. I don't want to do that. That is a very important first step to take. Because if you don't want to do that, then you're going to start looking for an answer. If you don't care, you're not going to look for an answer. You're not going to wonder why. You know, that's one of the biggest deceptions of the world today is they're making everything look like it's okay. You're not in captivity if you're on drugs. You're not in captivity if you're in homosexuality. You're not in captivity if you're living in sin or living in this or living in that. That's not captivity. The world is trying to convince us that, because if the world can convince us of that, we don't need a savior. We don't need somebody to set us free. But as Ricky said, when we see that there is something else out there, there's a freedom, there's a life that God came, there's a joy, there's a peace, there's hope that he came to give us, then we're going to say, well, where is it? I want this answer. And so that's a big part. So how do we do that? You know, the Bible said in Romans chapter 4, the New Testament, there's a story about Abraham. Abraham, referring back to the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, that God told him he was going to have a son. He was 100 years old. He said, how's this going to be? And he said he faced the fact. But then he was also, in Romans 4, it says, he was persuaded that God could do it. There's something about believing what God said he could do. And you might think, well, what promises has God given you? Well, there's all kinds of them in here. You know, that's why it's so important for us to be in the Bible, to know what we have. If we don't know, wait a minute. God said I could be forgiven. God said he could set me free. God said that he has a purpose for my life. Isaiah or Psalms 139, from the very beginning, before I was born, he says right here that he had a purpose for my life. And he's a good God. And it's a good purpose. And you start getting these promises. And these things, yeah, life still happens, as Beth was sharing. But we're persuaded that God can still do what he said he could do. Yes, God, these things happen. I can't control them, but you can do. So what promises do you know he has for you? I believe there's Bible promises. I believe also he has personal promises too that are based on the Bible, but special things like maybe he wants you to be a teacher. You know, maybe he wants you to work a whirlpool. Maybe he wants you to be mom or dad or adopt some children or whatever. He wants you to do these things. These are special things that he puts into your heart, special, that you need. And be persuaded that he can do this. If we could go ahead and stand, please. You know, things are going to come, but the persuasion is, you know, the battle is to get our eyes off God and on our circumstances and on the rubble that might be around us and the things that are trying to close us. But looking at, you know, with a story about Armand, even under 6 feet of rubble in darkness, there was something in his heart that he knew his dad loved him enough that he wasn't going to stop looking. Your Father God loves you enough, he's not going to quit. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you turn your back on God or not, he's not going to quit on you because he's a good shepherd. He's going to come after you. I mean, he's coming after you. And there's nothing you could do that's going to stop him. That's going to stop him your whole life of pursuing you so that he can show you his love and his promises. Is there something today that you need to throw off? Is there rubble? You said, I don't want to be under this anymore. I want to be set free from this rubble. If there's something in your life, you said, you know, whether it's a big thing or it's just a small thing, it could be a habit you want to stop or just something new. Say, God, I've been struggling with this. I want to be able to do these things. If you could just raise your hand up to the Lord, keep your hand up to God, and we're going to pray and welcome the Holy Spirit just to bring his strength and to set us free. So, Father, we thank you for your plan for us. We thank you, Lord, but before creation, you wanted to create a people that you can love and they can walk in your freedom. And Lord, this day, as ones have their hands up around this room here, Lord, you know every situation. And Lord, no matter in our minds, we might compare and say, what's big, what's small, Lord, it's all big to you, of anything that hinders us in walking with you. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, this day, the power of you, Holy Spirit, to lift these things off our life, to lift those things, Lord, and the power to keep our focus on you, God, the power to persuade, God, our hearts and to keep our minds set upon you and to see and hope, God. Just welcome hope in each one's hearts this day. That we would have hope that no matter what happens, that you're going to dig us out. Even if we created ourselves, God, you're going to dig us out. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what would it be like? What would your life be like if you walked through life believing that no matter what happened to you, no matter what was going to go on, God was going to work it out for you. Wouldn't that give you courage? Wouldn't that give you courage that no matter what, God, no matter what, you know, I'm not talking about running off and sinning, you know, stuff, but I'm talking about just living life and things happen and doing life and that God is going to work it out for good. That's the kind of life he wants us to have, that hope in him. I'm going to welcome our personal ministry team to come up. These ones are available up here to pray with you about whatever you like prayer for. They've been through training. They're confidential. They're not going to share things that you pray with you. this is open for anybody, whether this is your first time here, you've been here forever. And it's not that you have to have something wrong for ones to pray with you. You just say, I just want prayer. I just want somebody to bring that blessing or just welcome me to come. We're going to sing a song, but I'm going to ask one other thing, is when we're done singing the song, that for the first 3 minutes after we're done singing, find somebody you don't know and introduce yourself. Don't run to people you know. Find somebody you don't know. Just say hi to them. So God bless you. Don't forget to invite somebody next week and share that freedom of God that He wants us with others.